Now, look down in verse 16. And Isaiah said, and Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Now, listen to what Hezekiah is listening to. Verse 17, behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and all which thy fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. 100-something years before it happened, he says, they're going to take it away because you showed them everything. There's nothing here that they don't know about. Now, I've often said that if our representatives, it's the House of Representatives and the Senate and the President and all the judicial system, would just read 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and the prophets, they would be a lot better governing body, because right here is a good reason why you don't tell everybody what you've got. And right now, I reckon everybody in the United Nations know what everybody else has got except Russia. They're not going to tell what they got. But look what he says here. We're going to be dealing with Russia in about 3 weeks. And for thy sons that shall be issued from thee, he's of the tribe of Judah. This is the kingly seed. He says, they shall be, that which thou shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs. Now we know what that is. They fixing them up to where they won't be reproducing in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now think about that. He said, they're going to take your children away, the seeds of the king. They're going to take your seed and take them into Babylon and make eunuchs out of them. Now, look at verse 19. Then Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord. You know why he said that? Because it wasn't going to affect him. Ain't that a sad commentary when people get to the point, just longs it don't mess my day up, it's all right. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Because the Lord done promise he's going to take care of the Assyrians that was going to come in, their enemy. So Hezekiah knows he's got peace and tranquility for the next 15 years. Yet, when he dies, Manasseh, his son, comes up. It ain't worth shooting. If they'd had a gun, they'd shot him. I think they cut him. And then Ammon, he ain't no better. And then here comes Josiah that we talked about earlier. Then Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is the last one that is the king over Judah. And the next one, as we talked about last week, the next king over Judah after Zedekiah is King David. He's going to be resurrected and become the king in Jerusalem again. So Zedekiah was the last one. Okay, now in this right here, turn with us in the book of Daniel. And keep in mind what he just said to Hezekiah here. Chapter 1, and let's look at first three verses. It's the third week, and we're getting started on Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, remember him a while ago? Josiah's second son that was the king that done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Here it is, the same thing that was said in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon and Jerusalem, and besieged it. Look at the next verse. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Sinar. And there's a key to that right there. When you go in the book of Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10, now the number for a Gentile is 10. There's 10 kings at the second coming. In chapter 10, verse 10, you'll find that word Sinar. It's where Nimrod had his kingdom, where the first Babel or Babylon stood. And it's where the last Babylon to stand. And it's the same place that the Babylon stood in Nebuchadnezzar's day. The last Babylon, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, is not a governmental Babylon. It is a religious Babylon. We'll deal with that in a few weeks. And he said to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now look at the next verse. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. You remember what he told Hezekiah, Isaiah the son of Amos did? That he should bring certain of the children of Israel, the king's seed, and of the princes. So there's Daniel walking in. Daniel has become a eunuch. He is the seed of Hezekiah. He's of the tribe of Judah. But there's something special about Daniel. Very, very special about Daniel. Look with us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. Children of whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. Now, that's who Daniel was before he got there. The Lord lined up these four men. He lined up Daniel. He lined up a man named Hananiah, Mishael. It's hard to say it. It's like Michelle, but you got to throw one more syllable in there. Mishael and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But their real Jewish name is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their God-given name. Now, their Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is pagan names. And Daniel got a pagan name too. Daniel means, my God is judge. But Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Belshazzar. Belshazzar. You got to say it with a T. Belshazzar. A pagan name and had to do with the god of Baal. Now, Daniel was always Daniel. They might have called him Belshazzar, but he was always Daniel. Now, look in the next verse. Wait, let me right there for just a second. That's fine. And the king appointed them a daily provision. That's good right there. Okay, now, if you are going to be a part of those that the king is going to use to learn, to teach, become great men of wisdom, they're going to be given a certain diet. The king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so he nourished them 3 years. Now, the reason that verse is, and I want you to know how long it was, Daniel spends 3 years of training in the language of the Chaldeans and the learning of the Chaldeans. Now, he's already got a PhD from Jerusalem, but he's going on with his education here in Babylon because the Lord is going to use him in such a great way. He's got to understand the people of Babylon. Now, there's a lesson kind of knee-deep there that you need to look at a lot of times is sometimes the Lord gives us a ministry. He gives us a ministry to deal with a certain people. We need to learn all we can about those people so we can be better ministers to them. But notice what he says right here, that at the end thereof he might stand before the king. Now, he spends 3 years, and we know that he didn't eat the meat and drank the wine. They eat soup the whole time, and Daniel looked better than the rest of them. We know that story. We won't get into that part. Now, look at verse 6. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, they won't use that name too often in there, but that is their names from Jerusalem. Look at verse 7. He said, and to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, the name of Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, and Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. I'm just going to read that one time. That'd be a rough one to do right there very fast, wouldn't it? Now, these men right here that the Lord has set aside, these are young men, and they're referred to as children. So at this point right here, they're under 20 years old. And that's the mark in Israel. When someone gets 20, they're referred to different, but they're under 20 years old. Now, go with us into verse 17 of Daniel chapter 1. Now, we're going to kind of speed forward just a little bit right here. He says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now notice that in verse 18. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now notice what happens right here in verse 19. He says, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now the king questions them. He has them. The king either asks the questions himself, as it says there, the king communed with them, or he had someone questioning them. He brought them before that. But look at the next verse. And all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them how much? 10 times better than all the magicians, the astrologers that were in all his realm. Now, these kings were pagan. They had many gods. And these people, they really relied upon the astrologers, the sorcerers, the magicians. These people right here fed them information. And you'll find out here in a minute that it was bogus information. But sometimes people just won't. You ever seen that where you can dial a psychic? It's a California number. That ought to tell you enough. And it's 99 cents, I think, for the first 3 minutes, and then the fine print down there, there's no telling what it would cost you. But, you know, there's people just want somebody else to tell them something. I mean, we're a sucker for somebody else's opinion a lot of times. And the king is no different. That's the very same thing that's happening here. And look with us in verse 21. And then Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. We remember him, don't we? The one that got named before he was born. And that tells us, by what he said a while ago in the book of Jeremiah, that they're going to be in Babylon for 70 years, right? And Daniel is under 20 years old. So Cyrus comes in, and Cyrus is the one that gets him in the lion's den. So Daniel is over 90 years, or right at 90 years old when he goes in the lion's den. Now, you know all the paintings and pictures that you see? You know, he don't look like an old man in there, does he? But biblically speaking, he was an old man when he went in there on them lions. You know, when he was 30, he might have, I thought he might have had a fighting chance at 90. I mean, you really leaning on the Lord there, ain't you? So keep that in mind. Now, let's look down at Daniel chapter 4 in verse 8 and 9 and try to plug this in here. Because remember what I said, the sequence of a lot of these things, the way they fit together. Now, he says, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. Now, Daniel, look in the next verse, verse 9. O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dreams that I have seen and interpretation thereof. The reason I want you to see that, here's Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel has stood up, and they've had him questioning, and find out they're 10 times smarter than anybody else there. So the king speaks to Belshazzar, to Daniel here, and he says, I know the master of master of the magicians. He says, the spirit of the holy gods. Do you see that little G on there? He still ain't seen the light. He goes on down there, tell me the vision of my dream, saying he's still wanting the same thing he got from the magicians and the sorcerers and the astrologers. He's still dreaming. Now, folks, there's a lot of people today just like that right there. The only time they get a little bit of religion is when they get troubled. The only time that they get kind of halfway right, it's when things go halfway wrong. And that's no different in Nebuchadnezzar. In the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot out of this man. Now, Daniel had a reputation. Go with us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. And do you remember a while ago when we was talking about there's about 7, 8, 9 years between Daniel going into Babylon and Ezekiel going into Babylon? And Ezekiel is a prophet just like Daniel, and he prophesies about the second coming of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came again to me saying, and look what he says about this man Daniel. He said, son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressions grievously, trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. He's talking about what is happening there in Jerusalem. And look what he says in the next verse right here. He said, these three men. Now, Noah has been gone a long time. Now, remember what the Bible said about Noah? That he was a perfect and upright man. And remember what he said about Job over there? The same thing. The man in the land of Uz was a perfect and upright man. And now, Daniel, at this point right here, when Ezekiel says this, he's still a young man. He's in Babylon. But he's already, in the eyes of God, got a reputation right up there with Noah and Job. Now, folks, that's something to think about right there. He says, but though they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, said the Lord. In other words, if these three men lived in that town, they would only be able to deliver themselves. They would not be able to deliver no one else. But he says that about this man here, Daniel, early on in his life. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, anybody got a question right in there? Are we going too fast, too slow? Are we? I don't know either. Oh, yeah, there you go. Just run her back. Okay, now what's taking place right here is this is the Prince of Tyrus. Now, that don't look too bad right at first, but he's not really just a man, but he's the Prince of Tyrus. Now, at this time, Tyrus is a coastal city, and it's in the area of Syria. Now, the reason I want you to make a mark in your mind about Syria, because we're going to be dealing with this Syrian people from Syria for quite a while for the next few weeks. And this right here, Son of Man, say unto the Prince of Tyrus, thus said the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou said, I am a God, capital G. This fella right here really thought he was special. And he said, I said in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. You're talking about a high opinion of yourself. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Now, this is Ezekiel talking to this prince of Tyrus, this Syrian, and he is speaking like he's God. But what's taking place is something's going on within him. Look in verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Now, we know Daniel's 10 times smarter than anybody in Babylon. But here's somebody that's smarter than Daniel. Now, folks, when you see something like that, really take notice. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now this prince becomes a king. Notice with us in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus. This prince has become a king. Now we're talking about prophecy. We're talking about Ezekiel reaching down the road upon the king of Tyrus, and said to him, thus said the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Look at the next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub. You remember a while ago when I said there was only one other called anointed in the Bible besides Cyrus, which was a shepherd, and which was the anointed, just like our Lord and Savior was a shepherd, John chapter 10, Psalms chapter 23, many, many times referred to as a shepherd. But he says right here, thou art the anointed cherub. So the devil is a anointed cherub, and that means a Christ, but he is a false Christ. Now, a cherub is not an angel. We've talked about this before in Bible study. A cherub is not an angel, and an angel is not a cherub. Just like the kingdom of heaven is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. I learned 40 years ago when I first started studying the Bible that things that are different are not the same. If the Lord says something different here than he does over there, you better try to find out why he said what he did. Why did he call the Prince of Tyrus? Why did he call him the King of Tyrus? Because there was a time goes by, princes become kings. So this is what takes place. And I have set thee so, thou was upon the holy mountain of God, that's the Zion in heaven, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones afar, that's in the presence of God. And look at the next verse. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Satan was created. God is eternal. The angels were created. All heaven and earth was created. Satan had a beginning, but he was perfect when God created him. Till iniquity was found in thee. He made a bad choice. He made a bad decision. Now, we're not going to labor too much on this, but I want you to get a little bit deeper in this thing. And let's go into the next verse. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And we know that Satan was removed from heaven. And he says, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones afar. He has been exiled. He has been cast out of heaven. Now, when he was cast out, he was the anointed cherub. Then he became the prince in the power of the air. That's who he is today. Now, he's going to lose that title, in Revelation chapter 12, because Michael and the archangel will cast him out of that position, and he's going to come down upon the earth, and he's going to incarnate himself as the last king, the Antichrist, that will be upon this earth, just like he did when he moved in and abode in the body of the king of Tyrus. Think about that about 3 o'clock this morning, and you'll lose sleep the rest of the night. I wake up sometimes with this stuff, and boy, it becomes scary when you think about it when you're all alone like that. So when we study these things, keep in mind that is prophecy that he's talking about coming in the last days. Anybody got a question? That'd be a perfect place for a question. Okie doke. Okay. He incarnated himself. Yeah. What Satan has done through the years, he has incarnated himself many times in individuals. He incarnated himself in Judas. He entered into Judas, and he carried Judas through the process of betrayal and then right up to hanging himself. He has incarnated himself throughout history into many, many different leaders through the world. He incarnates himself in the very end, Revelation chapter 13, chapter 17, and chapter 18. He incarnates himself in the very last king of this world. So he does this again. Go with us. You got time to go to Isaiah chapter 14. Flip with us to Isaiah chapter 14, and Kyle, I'll give you one more. And everybody turn to that. It'd be a good thing to mark in parallel with this, Isaiah chapter 14. And notice what he says here down at verse 4 of Isaiah 14 and 4. Now here, the king of Babylon, and keep in mind there was more kings of Babylon than just Nebuchadnezzar. But here he incarnates himself. He says that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath thy oppressed ceased, the golden city ceased. Now Babylon is called the golden city because when we study next week, we're going to go into the image that had the golden head. And Daniel said, thou art that head of gold. Now go with us over in the next verse, verse 5, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He smote the people in the wrath with a continual stroke. He hath ruled the nations in anger and persecuted and none hindered. And he goes right on down in verse 9, and he says, hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. So when you read the rest of this chapter, chapter 14, make a note of that, because in verse 12, he starts calling the king of Babylon. Go to verse 12. He calls him Lucifer. So this would better answer your question, Kyle. Verse 14, I believe it is. Or did I say 12? 12, okay. There it is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now he's still carrying on the same conversation with the king of Babylon. And the Lord just going to call him by his right name now. He's going to call him Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Because in Revelation chapter 12, he's brought down to the earth. Because he's not on the earth today. He's the prince and power of the air. Paul calls him the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is the unholy spirit that abides in the hearts of the people that's never trusted the Lord. Did that help on that? Okay. Anybody got another question? We got time. We got 5.5 minutes. Anybody got anything right in there? Okay, now next week, I want you to read chapter 2, because we're going to go into chapter 2. We're going to deal with some things on the latter days. We're going to deal some more with this Syrian that I talked to you about. And in chapter 2, there's some things that's going to take place in this when Daniel begins to interpret the dream. And the last thing, go with us to Daniel chapter 2. And around verse 44. And I want to read that verse because that's what I want you to think about between now and next week. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Now, the image, and I know since you've read the book of Daniel, you've seen that golden image. And the golden image that he sees, it has the head of gold, it has the arms and the chest of silver, It has the thighs of brass, and it has the legs of iron, and the feet that is on it, these 10 toes, is part iron and part clay that we'll get into next week. But he says, in the days of these kings, so he tells us those 10 toes are kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, we have a world today that don't really believe that's going to happen. We have so many people today that thinks if you believe in the kingdom being set up upon this earth, they think you're some kind of fanatic. But that's one of the many places that it tells us that's going to take place. And he says, which shall never be destroyed. I like that part. He said, and the kingdom shall be not left to other people. But it's, you know, remember, the kingdom of Israel was left to Assyria and to Babylon. But here, he says, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, the Roman, and the last 10 kings that will stand upon this earth will be destroyed by the Lord, and then he sets his kingdom up. So that's kind of what's going to take place next week, and we'll get into chapter 2. Anybody got a question or comment on anything before we close?
Yes.
Okay.
I got just a glimpse of the news, and it said
good.
Which is much sooner than what they have.
Good. Good.
So that's exciting.
It is. And we talked about this the first week that we started studying, that in order for the prophecies to fit together as written, that Jerusalem has to be the center of Israel again. So all these things are just part of the Lord putting all the pieces together. So I love to hear things like that. I love to hear because it fulfills prophecy. The only thing that bothers me is so many people that's not saved still are not concerned about their soul. So we've got very little time, folks, to do what we can for the Lord. I appreciate you very much. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the time that you give us each week to open up your word. And we pray that thy Spirit, Lord, would work in all of our hearts to encourage us and get us excited about the things that, Lord, that you have written, and help us, Lord, to put these many, many pieces together and see the picture, Lord, that you're showing from heaven, Lord, that we could see what's taking place in this old world and realize that, Lord, it just cannot be long. Help us to be that you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. Bring somebody with you next week. You can always catch up.